It's the Mornings with Ed show, a couple of minutes after 9 o'clock. And as you know, what we've been doing more recently, or recently here, period, is giving you a more focused examination of all the critical issues between the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. And then at 9 o'clock, you and I escape musically. And today's musical escape comes with a little sad note tinge to it as we honor Richard Wayne Pennyman, better known as Little Richard. You know him. American singer, songwriter, musician, influential figure like no one else in popular music and culture for 7 decades. And that, again, is an astonishing thing to think about, that really 7 decades ago, 70 years ago, this was the innovator. This was the originator and the architect of rock and roll. Little Richard's most celebrated works date from the mid-1950s, when his charismatic showmanship, dynamic music, characterized by frenetic piano playing, pounding backbeat, and his raspy shouted vocals, they laid the foundation for rock and roll. His innovative, emotive vocalizations and up-tempo rhythmic music also played a key role in the formation of other popular music genres, including soul and funk. Wasn't just the creator of rock, he was the creator of soul and funk. He influenced numerous singers and musicians across musical genres, from rock to hip-hop. His music helped shape rhythm and blues for generations to come. You know the songs, the Tutti Frutti's, the Long Tall Sally's. We're not, more than likely you won't be hearing those, as he had an unbelievable catalog of fantastic music that I'd like for you to hear today. He's cited as one of the first crossover black artists reaching audiences of all races. His music and concerts broke the color line, drawing blacks and whites together despite attempts to sustain segregation. Now, his contemporaries, including Elvis, Buddy Holly, Bill Haley, Jerry Lee Lewis, the Everly Brothers, Eddie Cochran, they all recorded covers of his works. His music and style was singular, and Elvis Presley in 1965 said, "He's the real king." And that's an unbelievable statement from the guy everybody called the king of rock and roll. Elvis said that in 1965 that Little Richard was the real king. He's been honored by everybody: the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame, Rhythm and Blues Foundation, National Museum of African American Music. Now, before entering the 10th grade, he left his family home and joined Dr. Hudson's medicine show. This is 1949 now. Imagine life in 1949 for a black performer. He was performing Louis Jordan's Caledonia. Little Richard, recalled that the song was the first secular R&B song that he had learned, since his family had strict rules against playing R&B music, which they considered devil music. He also, in 1949, performed in drag under the name of Princess LaVon. And then in 1950, he joined his first band, Buster Brown's Orchestra, where he got the name Little Richard. Brown gave him the name Little Richard. So right now, if you will, join me for the personal stash and the escape as we honor Little Richard.
Well, you wake up in the morning. You hear that work bell ring, and they march you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. Ain't no pork out there in that pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man. Woo-hoo! 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 Woo-hoo!
10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and we are honoring the late, great Little Richard this morning. And again, he passed away this past weekend. He's the creator, the innovator, rock and soul, and R&B. So when you hear the question, who did it first? It was him.
You got a smile so bright. You know you could have been a candle. I'm holding you so tight. Ooh. You know you could have been a handle. The way it's from me, I'm a fiend. You know you could have been a broom. Baby, you so sweet. You know you could have been some perfume.
It's the Mornings with Ed show, honoring Little Richard this morning for an entire hour. We're going to talk a little bit about his life, his career, and certainly hear some of the great music that you never get to hear. Little Richard songs. You always hear the Tutti Frutti's, the Lucille's, and those are fantastic and wonderful songs. But there's just a litany of fantastic music in his library. You know, his performances, like most early rock and roll shows, resulted in integrated audiences. And their reaction during an era where public places were divided into white, and I'm using this in quotations, and colored domains. In these package tours, Penniman and other artists such as Fats Domino and Chuck Berry would enable audiences of both races to enter the building, albeit still segregated. They had the blacks in the balcony and the whites on the main floor. And his band leader at the time was a guy by the name of H.B. Barnum. He explained that Little Richard's performances enabled audiences to come together to dance. Now, despite broadcasts on television from local supremacist groups, such as the North Alabama White Citizens Council, warning that rock and roll brings the races together, damn right it does. Little Richard's popularity was helping to shatter the myth that black performers could not successfully perform at white-only venues, especially in the South, where racism was the most overt. Now, Little Richard's high-energy antics included lifting his leg while playing the piano, climbing on top of the piano, running on and off the stage, throwing souvenirs into the audience. And he also began using capes and suits studded with multicolored precious stones and sequins. And he said he began a more flamboyant onstage persona, so no one would think that he was after the white girls. And that's how it had to be in those days, I guess. He said that a show at Baltimore's Royal Theater in June of 1956 led to women throwing their undergarments on stage at him, and that was the first time it had ever happened. We're going to continue now with the music of Little Richard. After 9 o'clock, honoring the late, great Little Richard this morning on the Personal Stash and Escape. And you know, he had a gospel background. Clearly, you've got to hear that he has a gospel background. And when I pulled up and found this cover of I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Originally, yes, done by Elvis. But this is a magnificent cover of this song.
Did you hear that long somewhere? Oh, yeah. He sounds too blue to fly. That midnight train is sounding low. Some I could cry.
I got to tell you, this might be one of my favorite hours ever. 9:22 the time. Little Richard, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And by the way, we lost him this past weekend. If you're just now tuning in, he died from bone cancer after a 2-month illness. His family was with him at the time. He was 87 years old. And not the only cover song that we're going to play. I got a little story for you. In the summer of 1963, Little Richard was contacted once again by Don Arden, who had Little Richard had rescued Don Arden, the promoter, from a couple of different sticky situations. Well, he needed to rescue a sagging tour that was featuring the Everly Brothers, Bo Diddley, and a brand new band who just released their first album. The band was known as the Rolling Stones. Little Richard agreed and helped to save the tour from flopping. Mick Jagger commented that he had heard so much about the audience's reaction to Little Richard's shows that he thought there must have been some exaggeration. Couldn't have been that great. But finally, when he saw Little Richard whipping the crowds into a complete frenzy, he realized that it was all true and that he couldn't believe Little Richard's power on stage. Following the success of that tour, Little Richard was given his own television special for Granada Television. It was titled The Little Richard Spectacular, and it became a ratings hit. And he happened to go ahead and record a Rolling Stones song you might recognize. reality is, without Little Richard, we would not have the Mick Jagger that we do. We wouldn't have had Prince, all of the artists that you can think about. This is the beginning. What we're giving you today, the person we lost over the weekend, was the beginning of rock and roll music and soul music and funk music. He really was. He was the innovator, the creator. We honor Little Richard this morning, who we lost this past weekend. This is a song called Freedom Blues.
La, 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 da, da, da.
Honoring the creator of rock and roll, blues, soul, Little Richard this morning, who we lost this past weekend. So, during his initial heyday in the 50s scene, he was a teetotaler, abstaining from alcohol and cigarettes and drugs of all kinds, and he often fined other bandmates for drug and alcohol use during this era. By the 1960s, however, midway through the 1960s, he started drinking heavy amounts of alcohol and smoking cigarettes and smoking weed. By 1972, Little Richard had developed an addiction to cocaine. He later lamented that period. He says, "They should have called me Little Cocaine. I was sniffing so much of that stuff." By 1975, he developed addictions to both heroin and PCP. His drug and alcohol use began to affect his professional career and his professional life. He says he lost his reasoning, and he said of his cocaine addiction that he did whatever he could to use it. He admitted that his addictions to cocaine and PCP and heroin were costing him as much as $1,000 a day. In 1997, longtime friend Larry Williams once showed up with a gun and threatened to kill him for failing to pay his drug debt. Little Richard later mentioned that that was the most fearful moment of his life because Williams' own drug addiction made him wildly unpredictable. Little Richard did, however, also acknowledge that he and Williams were still very close friends. And when reminiscing of the drug-fueled clash, he recalled thinking, I knew he loved me, I just hoped he did at that time. Within that same year, Little Richard had several devastating personal experiences, including his brother Tony's death. Tony died of a heart attack. The accidental shooting of his nephew that he loved like a son, and the murder of two close personal friends, one a valet at the heroin man's house. The combination of these experiences convinced the singer to give up drugs, including alcohol, along with rock and roll, and a return to the ministry at that time. And he wrote this song called Two Time Loser. This morning, Personal Stash, Escape, we honor Little Richard. This song is called Two Time Loser. There also was not an instrument that Little Richard couldn't play. He played every instrument on stage at one time or another, a fantastic artist and musician. So part of his clean period, after he cleaned out from drugs, that was a song from part of that period called Two Time Loser. Another song was called The Real Thing. And with the song The Real Thing, he wanted to let everyone know his musicianship. Not just his raspy voice and ability to sing, but the actual ability to put music together and the different components of a band and what it takes to make a sound. And check this out. Thank you. Just wanted to give you a sample, a sampling of the amazing musicianship and how Little Richard was more than just the creator of rock and roll and soul. He was a band leader as well. And that's just 5.5 minutes of a song that's actually a 26 and a half minute jam, all right? At some point here later on in the program or later on in the future, we'll do the entire 26 minutes of that song called The Real Thing. There was another band that, again, he influenced everybody, but the one band I haven't mentioned yet, and they're kind of being taken by him, are the Beatles. You don't think he didn't influence the Beatles, do you?
Yeah!
On a sad day, this past weekend, we lost little Richard. We get the opportunity of joy to hear his fantastic music. Of course, I saw her standing there, his version of that. This is called Do Drop In. It's the Mornings with Ed Show, 9:48 the time. We are honoring the creator of rock and roll, of funk, of soul, Little Richard, who passed away this past weekend at 87 years old from bone cancer after a two-month illness. And we're giving you songs that you really, you don't hear anywhere else. We hear, unfortunately, the same four or five songs from the greatest, from the creator, who has a library filled with great music. We hear the same four or five songs on other radio stations. I wanted to give you some stuff that we don't get to hear that often, unless it's in your personal stash. And I've got a couple more to close it out on the other side. This may be one of my favorite hours of music ever since I started in radio. We are, of course, honoring the great Little Richard in some songs that we don't get to hear very often. His magnificent career that really was the genesis of rock and roll and soul and funk. This is a song called Lovesick Blues, honoring Little Richard.
Such a beautiful dream.
such a beautiful dream.
It's the Mornings with Ed show. And before we go into the final song, a lot of singers and songwriters from that era ended up fairly broke. Well, in 1984, Little Richard filed a $112 million lawsuit against Specialty Records, Art Rupe and his publishing company, Venice Music, and ATV Music for not paying royalties to him after he left the label way back in 1959. The suit was settled out of court in 1986, and all parties were happy. According to some reports, Michael Jackson allegedly gave him some monetary compensation for his work when he co-owned, when Michael co-owned Sony ATV songs by the Beatles. And Little Richard, however, according to the story, said that while Jackson owned the Specialty stuff, Little Richard still didn't get paid for it, though he admitted Jackson had offered him a job with his publishing company as a writer, and Little Richard refused that position. But he did not end up penniless. He didn't end up broke. He ended up where he started, on top. We're going to close it off with a song called Somebody Saw You.